Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Tonight we're airing on KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydra, Oklahoma. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network and also the Gospel Playlist as well on the Internet Radio. Now, this is a live call-in program. The number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you also tonight, this evening, of our additional sponsors. We are being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Now, again, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Last week, we began a discussion concerning morality and the Bible. And the words of the Apostle John surely ring true today. The whole world lieth in wickedness, he says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We're living in a day in which we are being bombarded on every side with immorality. Television shows, movies, music screams loudly with wickedness and corruption, and they continue to flood our homes with cheating and violence and homosexuality, adultery, nudity, and many sexual innuendos. And here recently, in the 2015 swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, we see the immorality just right there on the very cover page. The clothing, or maybe we should say the lack of clothing, that is worn by many of our young girls and women, the male gender not exempt, are encouraging lust and adultery and fornication. Now, when we think about the idea of
hold on, guys.
You gonna?
Gotcha.
Okay, we also need to realize that it's just not sexual things with regard to morality, but also lying and drunkenness and extortion and really any sin that transgressed God's law is immoral. We think about the passage in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "For they were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, and they did not know how to blush." In our day, we have a society that no longer blushes at sin. We have a society who now is okay with really any kind of morality as long as it's something that they are all right doing. You know, David, when we think
Tom,
of... Yeah, go ahead.
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Most definitely.
And good evening. We had a little bit of trouble getting logged in here from my distance. But Frank, how are you doing? And Tom, how are you doing as well?
Everything's going well.
Well, good. When we look at this thing, it's not so much that people are doing immoral things, and it doesn't bother them so much, but. Tom, when you look at people that get on TV and brag about their homosexuality or brag about their fornication or brag about their adultery, they're not ashamed of it at all. But it goes beyond being ashamed; they're proud of what they do.
That's right.
And this is something that is extremely disturbing. They're proud of what they do, and it's acceptable to the other people that understand what's going on there. And this is a devastating blow, in my opinion, to what we're talking about here. The immorality is just gone amok in the United States of America. It's unbelievable.
Exactly right. So when we think about this idea of the Bible and morality, you know, Frank, we mentioned last week that there are some people who says, well, we ought not to judge when it comes regarded to whether a person is immoral or not immoral. And they always like to turn to Matthew chapter 7, don't they, Frank?
Okay, yes, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, and what we refer to as Sermon on the Mount, began that chapter by saying that judge not. And so many times those that you mentioned that are always saying, you know, we're not to judge, they either do not know where the Scripture is or they do not know what Jesus is talking about. The point that Jesus is making is it is not ours to determine the right or wrong. God has done this. Mm-hmm. In the same passage, a few verses down, he talks about the evil things, and he says, you know a tree by its fruit. We make a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize the right or wrong. But God is the one that has determined what is right, what is wrong, and the morality that we are talking about tonight is that which has been determined by God. It is a judgment on their part to then contradict God and say, we have decided this is all right.
Exactly right. You know, and David, even though the words like moral and immoral are not mentioned in the King James Bible, there is a lot of various ways that the Bible talks about immorality. And one of the major emphases on in the Bible concerning this is that we are a people that need to be holy. Is that not right?
Absolutely. And you know, people are scared of that word. Have you ever heard anybody that stepped up to you and said, hey, Tom, I'm holy? You know, people are scared of the word. But the fact of the matter is, God chose us to be a holy people. And he wants us to be a holy people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, a people for my own possession, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called him out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, that word holy is used 611 times in the Bible. Jesus Christ died and shed his blood so that we could be holy, and we ought not to be ashamed of it.
Exactly right. And you know, that word holy is from the Greek word hagios, meaning to be separate and set apart. We need to be separate and set apart from the world.
You know, another term that's used as often, in fact, probably more often than any other to describe a child of God, is the word saint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another word we're scared of because of some of the misteaching that's in the world. But the word saint comes from the same basic word to be set apart or consecrated unto God.
You know, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, it says, and ye shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And is it not also true that in the New Testament, David, we're also told to be saints and to be holy?
Sure. And we're told to be holy over and over and over. Be ye holy because I am holy. And we are afraid of that word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just exactly what God expects us to be. When he comes the second time to deliver up the kingdom unto God the Father, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 and 24, he's going to deliver a bunch of holy people. And we need to get used to that. And we need to find out what we have to do in order to be holy. I know one thing, we're going to have to come out of the world and be separate and apart from them in order to be holy. We can't be mixed and be holy about anything.
You know, we've got to realize that these commands that God gives us in the Bible are for our good. They are the things which make us holy. Deuteronomy 10, verse 13 tells us that God's commands are for our good. And we've got to realize also that holiness in the highest sense belongs to God. You know, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2 says, there is none holy like the Lord. God is the ultimate holiness, and we need to emulate him to the best of our ability. And Christians are to be holy. consecrated to God and willing, therefore, to conform to His will in all things. And every time that we are living unholy, then we are polluting the very holy name of God through that sinful lifestyle. And again, we need to understand that anything we do that's contrary to God's will is unholy and therefore is immoral. But you know, David...
Well, you know,
go ahead.
In the Old Testament, you know, this is nothing new. You know, these principles have been set forth for us in the Old Testament with God's holy people. And they carry through today, and this principle set forth in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39 and verse 7. Said, do not pollute my name anymore. I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, you know, that is a command, and it is a command with teeth. I am the Holy One of Israel. Well, we get over here and see the same principle in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 15 and 16, where he says, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, Tom and Frank, that is a command that we be holy, and yet you don't see people looking at that and saying to themselves, I'm holy. Mm-hmm. I'm holy. And we need to ask ourselves, what is it that makes us holy? What is it that makes us separate and apart from the rest of the world? What is it that makes us that child of God that has been called out of the world and into His marvelous life? And it is an obedience to God's will and God's word, an obedience to the gospel.
Exactly. You know, another phrase that's used often in the Bible to teach the importance of moral virtues is the phrase, unspotted from the world. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And you drop down there in verse 27 of that same chapter. It says, religion is pure and undefiled before God. The Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained or unspotted from the world. That's what holiness is all about, Frank.
Yeah. You know, the background of the word unspotted is interesting. If you look back at the time the New Testament was written, there was much idolatry. In the idol temple, there was the idol, whatever form it took. There were those who were called priests who served the idol. They were not permitted under any circumstances to approach that idol if their clothing was dirty, had a spot on it. They made sure physically that they were as clean as they could be before they approached their idol. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of picked up in the New Testament, that spiritually we are to be clean. We are to be unspotted as we come into the presence of God.
Exactly right. You know, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that we are not to be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, the word rendered conform means to put on the form, the fashion, or the appearance of another. We are to be conformed to God. And that means, therefore, that we are to be like God. And since God is the ultimate holiness, we also need to be holy. And there's that word transformed that's used there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get our English word metamorphosis. It means we to have a radical change. We need to change from that which is unholy and be changed into something that is holy. But David, isn't it true that it seems the world has lost their passion for holiness and are more passionate about being immoral or unholy?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mention that. I mean, if you want to just see what people act like and what they look like and the way they dress and as far as moral and immoral, just go to Walmart and just... just go to Walmart and take a gander for about an hour. Just at the people that are walking by. And it appears to me that many, many, many of the individuals that are walking through Walmart, which is a cross-section of our population, by the way, many of them would rather be associated with the way that people act coming out of prison than people act coming out of the church building. And this is disturbing. It is extremely disturbing because we have young men and young women in this country that are going to be the future of this country. And it looks like immorality is taking a hold of the younger generation more so than it did the generation before. And we need to be able to change this some way. It looks to me like people are establishing their own standard, and they're not looking for the consistent standard that God has set forth in order to cause morality to be a part of society.
You know, it seems that the world looks at the world and says, you know, well, that's just the way things are. You know, Frank, you were telling me about a cartoon that you read in the newspaper that really illustrated the way people just kind of said, well, that's just the way things are. We're just going to have to accept it. Tell us about that cartoon, Frank, you were telling me about earlier.
It was a cartoon strip in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. This little boy in it, he's 11 years old, always 11, forever be 11 years old. They live in an apartment, and it happens to be a black family, and he's always trying to listen to rap music. The other day, the cartoon, he's in his room playing rap. Dad is in the other room. He hears it, jumps up, runs into the room where the little boy's at, and said, "That's profanity that I'm hearing in that music." And the little boy says, "Well, sure it is, Dad." Said, "That's what you hear on the street all the time." Said, "No one pays any attention to that." And then you move to the next panel. Dad has gone back into the other room, sat down, and he said, "Sadly, that's the way it is." Well, the sad thing was that dad didn't have enough dad in him to tell that little boy that stuff's not going to be played in my house.
You know,
we
do live in a time when people say, well, that's just the way things are. We just can't help it anymore. But, you know, if we don't try to stem the tide of immorality in our nation, things are just going to get worse and worse. The things that you're seeing now on the TV and hearing on the radio and seeing walk around in the various Walmarts, you wouldn't have even thought it could even be possible 50 years ago. Just think what it would be like, David, 50 years from today, if things keep going like they are.
Well, it would be terrible. Let me just take a break right now and let everybody know that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you want to get in on the conversation, we would love to hear your comments. We would love to hear your questions. If you've got a question, we've got a Bible answer for you. It won't be our opinion. It won't be our supposition. We're going to give you a Bible answer. And we're coming up on a very, very important part of this program tonight, because we're going to see what is the standard. But we want you to call in. The number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tom, back to you.
You know, the Bible is, David, our standard in moral issues. And one of the reasons for the abundant immorality in our world is its failure to abide by the proper standard of authority. Now, concerning moral issues, the Bible, and it alone, must be our standard for what is right or for what is wrong. You know, the Bible is to be our sole guide as to what is moral or immoral, because it is the only book that is inspired of God. Now, the Bible...
Before you go on, why don't you explain to the listening audience, and by the way, I think we've got a different kind of audience tonight, a different than our regular audience, because we're at a different time at 5:30, and we want to welcome each and every one of you to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We do come on every Monday night, and we normally come on at 7 o'clock, and we invite you to come in at that time. But Tom, when we talk about the inspiration of God and the Word of God and the words that are in the Bible, some people are a little bit confused about this, and What we are trying to tell you tonight is that the standard for moral issues, the standard for morality, it comes from God. And these words in the Bible, they're just not a bunch of words that were printed there by men.
Mm-hmm.
They are inspired. These are God-breathed words, and they are penned by penmen, and they are put in the Bible. They are preserved for us and have been preserved for us ever since this Bible was put together. And this is our standard. And when we deviate from the standard, we have deviated from God's inspired word.
Exactly right. And, you know, in other programs in days gone by, David, we have talked about and have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God, the Bible, is indeed God's inspired Word. And you mentioned the word God-breathed. That's interesting because, you know, there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says that all Scripture inspired of God. Well, that word inspired comes from the Greek word theopneustos, literally translated as God-breathed. So, indeed, we have with us here in the pages of the Bible the very breath of God, the very thoughts of God. And in a little bit, you'll notice in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 to 13, when we get to it in just a moment, that what we have here is the mind of God. No one can know the mind of God except the Spirit of God that is in him. And the Spirit inspired these Bible writers to write for us the very mind of God. And so what we have here then in the Scriptures is then the very mind of God and his thoughts on what is, or maybe we should say his commandments on what is moral and what is immoral. Can you imagine, Frank, what the world would be like if everybody lived according to their own moral standards? What kind of chaos would we have?
You used the correct word. It would be chaos because everyone would simply go in the direction they wanted to. You know, this passage in the Old Testament, the beginning of the book of Judges, where it says that the people did according to their own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look over the next period of time at what happened to the children of Israel, because every man did what he thought.
Yeah, what is it? Right. Judges 2, verse 10, every man did that which was right in their own eyes.
Every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Well, we have that going on in our very day, people doing things as they see fit, and not living by any kind of moral standard other than their own personal desires. But, you know, the Bible, the inspired book from God, has to be our sole guide in deciding what is moral or immoral, because it is authoritative, it is powerful, and God's words, well, look at Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says,
Why don't you back up there to verse 8 and 9?
All right, we'll go there.
When we look at verses 8 and 9, we see the reason that God is telling us this, because people have their own thoughts. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his step. We're going to need help. We can't direct our step because we don't know what is moral, what is immoral. We don't have the standard.
Exactly.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't think that that's the way it ought to be. And so God instructs us here in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, and he says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And then in verse 11, he says, So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God is in control of what is right and wrong, and he holds the standard of right and wrong. And just because your grandma or your grandpa did it one way doesn't mean that that's the right way. If they did it God's way, it's the right way. But if we didn't do it God's way, it's not according to the standard. And it's very confusing to people that are outside of Christ and don't read their Bible. How in the world is anybody ever going to know what the standard is, Tom, if they don't know what God's standard is?
Exactly right. And so tonight we're talking about morality in the Bible and how that we're living in a society which immorality is just running rampant. We see immorality on every side of us in our television shows, the movies. Our music screams loudly of immorality, and homosexuality and violence and adultery and nudity is being promoted on every side. And the Bible tells us that we need to be people who are holy, who are going to be separate from the world. We need to be holy because God is holy. We've noted this today also in this program, how that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and not to be conformed to the world, but rather be transformed. But the only way we can know this is by looking to the Scriptures that tells us what is moral and immoral, Frank.
And we also need to recognize that the Scripture is very plain in what it says.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ambiguous. It says a liar is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
It says that a fornicator is a fornicator. It says that this is sin. You know, somehow or another, people want us to think, or want the world to think, that the Bible doesn't really spell it out, doesn't really make it understandable. And they would if they could understand it.
Exactly.
And yet, when you look at it, God's Word is very plain, very pointed in the realm of morality.
David, don't you think that a lot of people, when it comes to the Bible, would just rather ignore the Bible and just simply do things their own way? We have it seemed like the politically thing to correct thing to say, to not be a part of anything religious. Religion seems to be something that's phasing out in our society, and we're now reaping the immoral consequences of that.
Well, the problem, the great problem is that people have disregarded the Word of God. And one of the passages of Scripture that God puts in there for us in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he says, give diligence or study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, how are we going to show ourselves approved unto God if we don't ever pick up the book?
Exactly.
We can't get it by osmosis. And if you took on any job, you would read whatever it was that you had to read in order to be approved for your boss, in order to keep your job. And it's no different with God. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And people just don't do it, Tom. And if you don't do it, there is absolutely no way that you can know.
Exactly. And so as a result of that, we live in a very immoral society, and it's just getting worse and worse all the time. We need to now stand up as men, as Christian people, and try to stem this tide of immorality. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to get back to the Bible. You have heard what men have said. We need to listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us a question that we will answer on our next program if you prefer. And the email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions, plural, @harrisonmoore.org. Now, we think about the Bible and its power, the power to overcome immorality, the power to overcome sin. I can't help but think what the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, when he says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And he says in verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's something that people fail to realize, that one day we're going to have to give an account unto God how we have abided by his instruction given to us in the Bible.
You know,
well, Tom, it seems like people today are actually ashamed to admit in a crowd of people, that they might check to the Bible and they might check to God's Word to see what is acceptable to God. And they're absolutely ashamed of the gospel. They wouldn't carry around the Bible if they had to, but they might get dubbed as a Bible thumper or some kind of a religious fanatic or something like that. But you know, Paul the Apostle, he said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and here's why. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he says then, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." In the gospel, the righteousness, the holiness of God, it is revealed from faith unto faith. And that is where we've got to go. We talked about being holy a while ago. We talked about being sanctified. We talked about being a saint. And there's no way that we can be any of those things unless we adhere to the words of the righteousness of God, the gospel message that has been given to us in the book.
Now, tonight you're listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We're airing at a different time tonight. Normally we air each Monday at 7 p.m., excuse me. And so we encourage you to listen in every Monday at 7 p.m. But if you're first-time listeners tonight, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about immorality and how our nation has been inundated with immorality in its movies, its music, its TV shows, its commercials, immorality on every side. And we need to get back to the Bible. We need to be a nation that's a holy nation. We need to be people who are unspotted from the world. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to get back to the Bible, because the Bible is our standard in moral issues. And the Bible is to be our only rule as to what is moral or immoral, because it reveals the very mind of God. You notice in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, it says, "For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this word, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit." So, David, we have here in the Bible the very mind of God that the Spirit inspired writers to write down. And we have the thoughts of God concerning what is immoral and what is moral. And as you mentioned a moment ago, God's thoughts are much higher than our thoughts.
Yeah, the standard of people today, and it wouldn't make any difference if it's 50 years ago. If it's a man's standard, it's not acceptable. There are a lot of people that, a lot of things that man deems acceptable that God deems immoral. And they back off and they say, "Well, I can't believe that God would think that that was an immoral thing, like drinking a little alcohol and getting a little drunk." And, you know, everybody does it. And so the morality changes as people get influenced. Don't ever underestimate the power of influence, because it will influence some of the most good moral people to be evil and bad and just like the world and the darkness that they came out of to begin with.
Exactly right. And when we think about this idea of what is moral and immoral, we're living in a world where a lot of people, seems like most of the people of our world these days, are using the wrong standards for their decisions as to what is moral or immoral. And for the next few moments, I want us to look at some of the false standards that people use to try to, to feel that they're doing the right thing, when in actuality it's wrong. You know, one of them is what one likes is the standard of some. I've had people, I've asked them, "Well, why do you do that?" I said, "Well, that's just what I like to do." But you know, In Jeremiah chapter 10, in verse 23, Jeremiah talks about I was going to quote it, but I can't remember, so I'm going to turn to it real quick. In Jeremiah chapter 10.
Know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps.
Exactly. So we have, we're walking in the steps of God. We got a caller coming in.
Okay.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Give us your name and your comment or question, please. Well, our caller was dropped. We're trying to do something a little bit different tonight here, but if you'll try calling back in the next minute, we'll be right here and be able to answer your call. So please call us back, and we'll be able to get you on the line. You know, so we're talking about what one likes as the standard of some, and we realize that that is not the Bible standard of things. What I like and what you like does not really mean anything when it comes to what is moral or immoral. It's what God says that makes something moral or immoral. And, you know, others also have the idea, well, I feel, they use the I feel standard. But, you know, when we think about just the way I feel or way you feel, the Bible says something different. The Bible says that the flesh is not to be our standard. And if you live by simply what you feel or what you think is moral or immoral just by what you feel, then you're living by the flesh and the works of the flesh. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and following is that which leads to eternal destruction. But you know, for many, what they want is their sole guide in religion. You know, to simply live and by what you want is a horrible, horrible destruction, a way of destruction. Because you think about that for a moment, living by simply what you want. Everybody has different wants. Everybody has different beliefs. And when we live by simply by what we want, that's going to cause our society to get more immoral all the time. Now, here's one that many people use. They say, I think is the standard for numerous souls in our day. You remember the passage we read a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where there it says, God's ways are higher than our ways. When we think about that, we realize that living simply by our ways is not going to be that which is going to be pleasing in the sight of God. And so, David, when we think about this idea of false standards, people do things like they want and
make sure it's David.
Like I feel. David, is that you on the line?
Yeah, that's me on the line. And I want to back up there to what you mentioned just a moment ago. One of the standards is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the most when I have conferences with people in my office, people come in and they want to know about marriage, divorce, remarriage, adultery, and many times on many occasions I have talked to people that have found themselves in an adulterous situation. And you talk about what they want as a standard, and they say, okay, well, I know that's what the Bible says. I know that's what God's Word says, but I'm not going to do it because that's not what I want to do. I'm not mm-hmm. going to get out of this adulterous situation because it's not what I want. And they refuse to submit to the standard of God. And when we get to the point where we're so prideful that we take what we want over what God said, that's when we have totally disregarded and turned our back on anything that God has authorized.
You remember a while back, might have been a year or so ago now, David, we had a lady that called in, and she had an idea about something, and we opened the Bible up and showed her what the Scripture says, and she mm-hmm. says, yeah, I know what the Scripture says, but I don't believe it. You know, that's simply saying what you said. I don't want to do that, and so I'm going to ignore the scriptures. And really, that is one of the main things going on in our world today.
Yeah, it's all about what I want. It's all about me. It's all about my pride. It's all about my lack of submission to the authority of God and to His standard. I'm just not going to do it because it's not what I want to do.
Exactly.
And that's the way people act. And that perhaps is the most pressing issue that we have to overcome in order to adhere to the standard of God and with the morality of God that we find in the Bible.
Exactly. And so some of the false standards that people use today is what one likes. They use the I feel standard. I feel it's the right thing to do, or what I want, or what I think. But David, one of the ones that's really being used, especially among our young people, is everybody else is doing it. Frank, what do you say to someone who says, well, everybody else is doing it?
You know, obviously, the point has to be made that just because the number of people are doing it is not what makes it right. But probably the passage that usually comes to my mind is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about two ways in which people can go. One of them is the broad way, and many are they that enter in therein. And it's the wrong way, yet it is the way the majority are going.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'd like to use that argument to my dad sometimes. Well, Dad, everybody else is doing it. You know what my dad always said? Well, if everybody else wanted to jump off a cliff, would you want to as well? You know, and what everybody else is doing does not mean anything with regard to what is moral or immoral. Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." And as Frank mentioned, David, the majority of the people, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, are going the wrong way.
It is a great majority, according to Jesus, not just a little bit. He said, many there be that go in thereat, few there be that find the straight and narrow gate. Now, that straight and narrow gate, all in the world that is adhering to the standards of Jesus the Christ, God, who has put them all in perspective for us, and the principles of righteousness and holiness put there for our good so that we could be the people that He wants us to be.
Exactly. You know, there are other people also, David and Frank, who say things like, well, it just seems right. You know, it's kind of like the song that was a long time ago that was saying, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Things just seem right to me. If it just feels right in my heart, I'm going to do it. But what does Solomon say about that, David, in the book of Proverbs?
He says, there is a way, in chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So in other words, we may think that we know what seems right, but if we don't know the standard of God, we are destroying our soul. And when this life is over, we don't just get buried in the backyard like a dog. We're going to spend eternity somewhere.
Exactly.
And we need to know and we need to understand what God has in store for us and the standards that He demands of us in order to be the righteous, holy, moral people that He wants us to be.
You know, when I think about this whole issue, Dave, of what is moral and immoral, and people desiring rather to live lives immorally, lives that are opposed to what the Scriptures say, it seems that they're losing sight of eternity. You know, people want to live their lives the way they want to here on this earth. You know, and they may live on this earth for, let's just say they live to be 85 years old. And they want to live any way they want to for the 85 years. But they fail to think about the other side of that, of death and eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to spend an eternity in heaven because we live these 85 years in a moral fashion? Or do you want to live your life any way you want to for 85 years and then spend eternity? Compare eternity to 85 years. You know, and I think if we would spend more time thinking about eternity, perhaps more people would be willing to live moral lives in accordance with God's will.
Well, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to keep our eye on the goal, on the mark, and don't let anything get in our way that might hinder us from finishing the race. And, you know, we're on a journey, and we're in a race. It's the Christian race, and we are racing toward heaven. And we're put here, Tom and Frank, we're put here for one reason on this earth. It is to make the journey to heaven. Mm-hmm. And if we neglect that, then we have neglected our purpose here on this earth.
Exactly right. And when you think about that idea you just mentioned there, David, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, "The end of the matter, all has been said. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Our whole duty here on this earth is to please God, to bring glory to him, to praise his name. And we do that by being obedient to his will. And so just because it seems right doesn't make it right unless it is according to God's will. Now, it seems that also, David and Frank, that some people say, it doesn't matter what I do because no one will see me.
But you know, that's an immediate admission that you know what you're doing is wrong.
You know, that's exactly right.
You know, every time I think about this, I think about the fact that if you go from here to Fort Worth, you go through, well, the area that comes to mind, what's called Whiskey Flat. It's a place that's got all those triple X places where, and there's no windows. There are wooden doors. They may have a fence around them. Well, that's not where those people can't see out. That's where that the people that drive by can't see who's in there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be seen. It's an admission that they know that it's immoral.
Exactly right. And so, you know, and we've realized, though, but in Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 3, that God is all-seeing. And you think that no one will see you, but God always sees. You know, there's no gospel hymn talking about there's an all-seeing eye watching you. We've got to realize that you might be able to hide what you're doing that is immoral from everybody. There is one person that you will never hide immorality from, and that's the Almighty God. And he's going to be our judge in the last day. And so using that argument, no one will see me, it just doesn't hold water. But David, there's another one that I think a lot of people use today, and they say, but it's for a good cause. What would you say about that, David?
Well, you know, when people say that, they are trying to justify the situation separate and apart from what God said is right about it. And you see it happen all the time. You know, we got a greater cause here. It's for a good cause. Even if it violates God's standard, it's for a good cause. No, it's not. If it violates God's standard, it's not a good work at all. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." Let us do evil so that good will come out of it. And people try to justify an evil situation because they think that good's going to come out of it. But every good work that we do for God is going to be done under God's standard, or it won't be a good work at all. It never has been a good work, never has been accepted as a good work from God. But man seems to think that it's okay because it's going to be for the greater good.
You know, people use the phrase, the ends justify the means. You know, and that's not biblical. We need to do what is right. Even in doing wrong just because something good might occur is not a reason to do it. And by the way, if you say you're doing evil that good may abound, maybe that which you're considering good is not good in the first place. And so we've got to realize that simply doing evil thinking that good may be accomplished is not a moral standard by which we ought to govern our lives. But, you know, we think also, David, And here's one that I've heard many times. God didn't specifically say that I can't do this thing.
Right. How? God didn't say not to. He didn't say that you couldn't smoke marijuana. Or he didn't say that you couldn't write a hot check. Because that's not... Just show me specifically in the Bible where it says that you can't write a hot check. Well, the fact of the matter is, the Bible couldn't hold all of those ugly things that that a lot of people like to do that are evil. And just because they're not in there, it doesn't mean that the principle of righteousness behind the instructions is not there. Now, we have a tremendous illustration of this back in the book of Leviticus,
yes.
The principle of righteousness. In Leviticus chapter 10, with Nadab and Abihu. And by the way, Nadab and Abihu are the sons of the high priest Aaron. And so this shows you that God is no respecter of a person. He's not going to put, he's going to put difference between holy and evil. And we are told there in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them their censer and put fire therein and incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." He did not command them not to do that. He just told them what to do. He told them what kind of fire that he wanted as an offering. That's what he told them, and it eliminated every other single kind of fire that they could come up with. He said, "I want that kind," and that eliminated everything else.
Exactly.
And so he says he commanded them not. And that is the point that we need to make and illustrate to everybody that seems to think that just because God didn't specifically say not to do something, that it wasn't going to do something wrong. Now, we see what happened to them. In verse 2 says, "There went out a fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord." And then when we look at verse number 10, he told Aaron, when Aaron was questioning him about it, he says, "And that you may put difference between holy and unholy and between clean and unclean." When God says, "I want this," and you give him that, it's unclean and it's unholy, even though he didn't say, "Thou shall not."
Exactly.
In this particular case, it shows us exactly what's going on.
And so God will give us a moral principle in the Bible, and many things fall under that category of that moral principle. And so God has answered us. You know, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him has called us to glory and virtue. Everything that we need in life, everything that we need to consider what is moral or immoral is found in the Bible. It may not be specifically spelled out, but moral principles are given that will fall into many of these categories. And so to say that the Bible does not specifically say I cannot do that is really a pretty pitiful argument. And then there are some people also, Frank, who will say, "Well, it's not against the law, so then it must be all right for me to do it." What kind of argument is that, Frank?
Well, it's just a backup of the one that you were talking about, that... where they're trying to find an out, trying to find a way around something that is specified. And as David mentioned a moment ago, it's an absolute endless list if you had to try to put out a "thou shalt not," whereas you can just put a "thou shall," and that covers it.
Now, isn't it true that there are a lot of things in our world that is lawful, but is unlawful when it comes to what God says? You know, it's lawful to commit adultery. There's no law against cheating on your wife in our world, is there? But yet the Bible says it is a sin. You know, it's not unlawful to do a lot of things according to our nation's laws. But you know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know, I don't care if Colorado says it's legal to smoke marijuana or not. It's not legal in God's sight to do things such as that. Now, here's one that really... Well, go ahead, David.
Well, you know, even let's back it up just a little bit further. We have a society that encourages drinking of alcohol, and at every turn you see, men and women in tremendously influential places in politics and in Hollywood that celebrate at every turn something with the toast of an alcoholic wet beverage. Where did that come from? Where did that standard come from that you need to toast with an alcoholic beverage when God says drunkenness is a sin that will send your soul to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a standard of the world and we have a standard of God.
And we need to live by the standard of God.
If we don't know what God's standard is, then we're in trouble.
Exactly right. You know, there's some people also say that it hurts no one but me. That is an argument that a lot of people use, but, you know, how often do we not know how our sins hurt other people? We can't say that my sin hurts only me. What if you're involved in doing something that does harm to your body, and you say, well, I'm only hurting myself? What about the people that love you? What about the influence that you're wielding by those actions? There's nothing that we do that does not affect other people.
You know, as the poet said,
well,
no
you
man
know, there's another issue here that is that needs to be considered as well. And David points this out in the 51st Psalm when he says, I have sinned against thee and thee only, God. Mm-hmm. When we sin, it hurts God.
Exactly right.
And it hurts the love that he has for us. It violates the love that he has for us. It violates everything that we've ever done that God is so involved with. And like David said, I have sinned against thee, Lord, and against thee only. You can't say that it hurts no one. A first person it hurts is God Almighty.
Exactly right. Well, we're just about out of time tonight. We're going to have to quit about a minute earlier than normal to get on to the next program coming up. We're thankful that you were with us tonight, David and Frank being with us. And we'll see you next Monday at 7 p.m. right here on KATX 97.7 FM. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.